first moved here, and that was the first song I remember hearing the college kids sing.
And I kind of realized that while we were doing that. If you will, let's go ahead and please pray. Gracious Holy Father, we thank you so very much for allowing us to have a time where we can get together as a Christian family, Lord, to spend some time praising you, spend some time worshiping you. Lord, we ask you right now to please be with Donnie as he's getting ready to deliver a message to us. Please lift him up and guide him, Lord. Let the Spirit speak through him. That's Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning, church family. It's a blessing to be together and to start our year off right here in worship assembly together in 2023. Amen, church. Amen. And I get to say that because I wasn't here on January 1st, so I'm starting the year off right with you now on January 8th. I want to, first of all, pray for Mark Jameson, our preacher. He is in Guyana, as many of you probably are aware of, and I messaged him, and he messaged me back, so I know that they are doing well and they're safe. And he is excited about the work there for his medical mission team. We also want to pray for our college students, many of them returning today, just now today, and even some tomorrow for the start of classes at UF and Santa Fe for the spring semester that begin Monday and Tuesday. So let's have a prayer for them as well. Father in heaven, Lord, we are so thankful for your blessings. Lord, rain your blessings over Mark and his medical mission team in Guyana, Father. Thank you for our church support of this mission effort, and Lord, please let them meet many physical needs so that they can meet many spiritual needs as well, Father. And Lord, just bless them with safety over the next couple of weeks there. And Lord, also be with our college students, and we are so thankful for the baptisms and for our end of the semester just 3 weeks ago. And Lord, we're excited to start a new semester again, Father, and for our kickoff class this Wednesday, and Lord, also for our trip to Panama City for our annual spring retreat. We're so excited to join other campus ministries from around the southeast part of the United States, Father. And Lord, bless our students' safety as they return to us. It's your son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Some of you might have noticed my daughter, Mackenzie, was a little high energy this morning. And that's because Mackenzie just turned 9, and Daddy might have let her have ice cream for breakfast this morning, much to the chagrin of my wife. But I thought it was okay since we just celebrated her 9th birthday. And I wanted to point out this picture. This is a picture of us 2 years ago at the Super Bowl site in Tampa, Florida at Raymond James Stadium. This is not at the Super Bowl. This is at the Super Bowl site. 2 weeks prior to the Super Bowl, we were heading down at the end of Christmas, at the end of break, to see my parents and spend some time with them. And I saw that the stadium was all decorated up for the Super Bowl. I said, "Let's stop and get a picture." Now, I posted this picture the night of the Super Bowl on social media, on my Facebook page. I posted this picture with the caption "Go Bucks," since I'm a huge Bucks fan, And then I didn't think much of it, and then I checked that status the next day, and there were a ton of likes and loves, and so many people that mentioned, "You guys got to go to the Super Bowl, how lucky." And I wrote on the comment section, I'm like, "Do you see anybody behind us? We are not at the Super Bowl. We are at the Super Bowl site, but not at the Super Bowl." And nor did I spend $10,000 a ticket for myself and my wife and my children to attend that game. Nor could I afford to. But in thinking of that, it made me think about how we can sometimes have an appearance that's not quite what we're trying to portray. Maybe we feel like sometimes we have an appearance of faith because we're in the right place, and there's no better place to grow your faith than being here on Sunday and Wednesday, and following through with Bible study at home as an individual and with your family. Those things are so important, but it's so important that we be engaged in our worship this morning, that we realize we're here to glorify God, to worship Him, to encourage one another, and to build our faith. And that's the title of my sermon this morning, Growing Our Faith More So in 2023. And I have three ways for us to do that, which I'll get to in just a little bit. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Many years ago, one of our medical students, Dupree Hatch, was on a rotation, a three-week rotation at Shands out of many rotations that he was doing his last semester of medical school. And I remember him mentioning to me that he was on a rotation on a wing at UF Health Shands that was for the terminally ill. And he said it was so hard because so many people were depressed because they realized they didn't have long to live. But he said there was one patient that he enjoyed visiting with so much because that person was joyful, that person had a smile on their face, even in the face of death. That person realized that they had peace and joy and comfort in life, not realize, even knowing that they would die soon. And Dupree, as a Christian physician, asked that gentleman, and he said, I have to ask you, are you a Christian? And he goes, absolutely. I go to the congregation over here. And he goes, oh, I go to the congregation at University City. And so they got to talk about it. And Dupree realized that that man had conviction of things not seen, that he knew exactly where he was going to be, and he was joyful even in the face of death. Faith is mentioned 458 times in Scripture. Now, I did not look up all 458 references, but I looked up a lot of them. And it's amazing that almost each and every time you read about faith within the Bible, there's an accompanying action word with that faith, or unfortunately, lack of action. Let me give you some examples. For instance, the Bible mentions no faith in Mark 4:40, little faith in Matthew 8:26, weak faith, dead faith, and useless faith. Now, these are the types of faith, of course, that we don't want to have. But more often than not, there are these great action words that Jesus does want us to have accompanying our faith. For instance, in Luke 7:9, great faith. Acts 11:24, being full of faith. Steadfast faith, rich in faith, and precious faith. And that's where we want our faith to be in Him. Ephesians chapter 2 is going to be our base scripture this morning. And this is part of what Josh Mann read earlier in our call to worship. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I have a few thoughts from this before we get into the 3 points this morning. Faith sees kingdom, big picture reality. This very much summed up the life of a man of great faith who we celebrated yesterday, George Fletcher. I had the privilege of having breakfast with George a few months ago at our Over 49ers breakfast. And I can say unequivocally that he was a man of great faith. And he talked about all the different ways that he was still being active and finding ways to serve within our church family and within our community. And it was so refreshing to hear that from George, who at even his age knew that a growing and active faith was important. And he saw that big picture reality, knowing that he was going to see Marilyn and his wife again someday in heaven, in which he's there now. Faith, hope, and love have an intricate bond. Faith in our growing faith, in our act of faith, we have an unshakable confidence. Amen? We have an unshakable confidence because of that faith that we have in Christ Jesus. Knowing that it's not a 50-50 proposition or a 70-30 proposition or even a 90-10, but it's 100%. We have that knowledge that we have that home forever with him in heaven as followers of Jesus Christ, as saved believers, and that we have that confidence to live for him and to grow in that faith each and every day, regardless of our age or our life circumstances. Faith ensures kingdom provisions. God's going to provide each and everything that you need. Looking at Bill and Luba here, I know that God has provided everything that you guys have asked for the Ukrainian people. Even them being scattered into Poland and other regions, God still finds ways to provide the provisions needed to help people, and we can see that quite clearly, and we grow in our faith because of that. And faith enables God to do great things through each and every one of you, through you and through me. All right, so look at three keys this morning. One key to growing our faith is, of course, studying and putting into practice scripture to grow our faith. Secondly, we're going to be looking at prayer for God to increase our faith. How often do we pray to God about increasing our faith each and every day? And by focusing on a relationship with him through Christ in prayer, through growing that relationship daily. And then we're going to look at worshiping God and investing in community that helps multiply that faith. First, I want to look at this quote. It's one of my favorite quotes from C.S. Lewis. Christianity, if false, is of no importance. We are wasting our time here this morning if Christianity is false. But we know it to be true. And because of that, it is of infinite importance in our lives. What we are doing here this morning is of the utmost importance as we worship and glorify God. And what we do each and every day following Christ and growing in our faith is of utmost importance. The only thing it cannot be is of moderate importance. And unfortunately, if we fall into that trap, that's where we waver, and that's where we sink in our faith, and that's where we fall back if we get into that thought line of it being moderately important. We know it to be of infinite importance. It is our purpose in life. It gives us our purpose in life. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. In other words, our faith flourishes when we spend time in God's word. And it's so important to spend that time in God's word. I have an analogy here. Oh, it's over here. This is first century, and we're going to say each of these rocks represent importance in the word of God. This is scripture. This is Jesus breathing life into the first century church. And this is the 21st century bucket. And we take the truth of God's scripture and we drop it into our lives in this century. And we do this each and every day through our new Bible class series here, with so many more Bible class offerings, through our home study. We do this through spending time reading the Bible with our children and helping grow their faith in Faith City and at home and through L2L. We do this and we take each and every drop of God's truth and pour it into our lives today without spilling a drop of truth. My mom's favorite scripture, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it's still handwritten on a refrigerator back home in St. Petersburg, and it says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. It's not a maybe he'll make your path straight, or possibly he'll make your path straight. He will make your paths straight. We oppose spiritual forces and we win spiritual battles each and every day that we grow in our faith and apply God's word to our lives. If you look at the spiritual armor, the pieces of armor that Paul mentions in Ephesians chapter 6, there's one piece of armor that he goes into detail in, one, and it's right here on the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. When we look at that on the surface, we think, okay, all the flaming arrows of the evil one, that's all the sin that we want to rid our lives of. But that can also be flaming arrows of doubt, of fear, of anxiety, of worry. And those things can cripple us if we're not careful. Jesus says, and Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Nothing. But how hard is that? Easier said than done. We need to implement that growing faith and that act of faith in our lives each and every day. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God, the word of our God, will stand forever. And this from Hebrews chapter 11, from the Hall of Faith. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle, and routed foreign armies. When we read stories of like this, we're like, wow, what powerful examples of faith that we read about with these men and women in the Old Testament. But we're not all called to conquer kingdoms and shut the mouths of lions. Not today. But we are all called to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? We know that when we're in God's word assignments, when we take God's word and we practice those things, not just leave them here on a Sunday or Wednesday, but take the great teachings from our Bible class teachers and we take them home and we go into deeper study with them, that we have a growing faith that does not worry, that seeks God's kingdom, and that trusts God's provisions. When I think of this little playbook here, I think of Steve Spurrier. I actually have a copy of his playbook in my office. Don't ask me how. Well, actually, you can ask me how I got it. I'll tell you later. But I have a copy of that. And it's pretty cool to see how much time was spent, especially on the offensive side of the ball, and all the ball plays that he drew up, and that were successful. Now, did we win all the time in the 90s? No, we didn't win all the time. We won a lot of the times, but we still lost our fair share. Now we have coaches that are into analytics, putting out the best play possible for the University of Florida, given the situation. Do those always work? Not so far, but hopefully they will work. I'm still not a fan of going for it on fourth down from our own 40-yard line, but we've got to trust the system at hand right now. But we know that coaches win and coaches lose. The thing with God's playbook, with God's plan of action for our lives, we never lose. Now, things may turn out differently than we expect, but with following God's plan for our lives, we know that he will always be with us, that his promises are guaranteed, and that he will take care of our needs. Faith sees limitless possibilities through prayer. And here's just a few examples of direct conversations with Jesus. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, will it be done to you?" And their sight was restored. Now, could Jesus have not said that and restored the person's sight? Absolutely. He could have, with a snap of the finger, restored everyone's sight who was blind at one time. But what he says is, according to your faith will it be done to you. Then Jesus answered, it says in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 28, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed that very hour. Another correlation of faith in action in our requests to God through Jesus. When we think of Peter, I love this story. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. I like the first part of the story, at least. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" So Peter's lack of faith in that situation, when he got caught up in the winds and the waves, caused him from continuing to walk out to Jesus on that water. But there's a makeup story that sometimes we don't always recognize, and that's found in the last chapter of John, when Jesus visits the disciples after his resurrection. And before he has a seaside breakfast with him, he tells them to throw out their nets on the right side after they had not caught anything, and then they caught this great abundance of fish. And then the disciples' eyes were open, and they recognized who it was, that it was Jesus. And then it says that Peter ran out to Jesus from the boat. And the boat was about 100 yards offshore. Did he run on the water? Did he walk on the water? Did he trudge through the water? We don't know. But it says that once he recognized Jesus, once his eyes was fixed on the Lord, he ran to Jesus and wasn't worried about anything else. And then we see Peter, an apostle of great faith, after all the fears, after all the doubts, after all the worries, he went and did what Jesus wanted him to do with reckless abandon, even to the point of dying for him in the ministry. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer." Do we truly believe that today in our prayer life? In our growing and active prayer life of faith of what it should be, do we believe that no matter what, Jesus will answer, God will answer our prayers? "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing, it says in John chapter 14 and verse 11. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And finally, we want to look at a growing faith that expands community and authentic community that we're surrounded by this morning that helps expand our faith. We worship God through building these relationships. I want to point out a scripture that is oft overlooked, and it's found in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 15. Our hope is that as your faith, and this is part of the church in Corinth, as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will greatly expand. What an amazing verbalization by Paul to the church there, that as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity will continue to expand among you. And that's what happens today when we have a growing faith in God together, that the work of this church will continue to expand, and the work through our individual lives will continue to expand and grow. As we begin to understand God's vision for transforming the unreached regions of our community and world, and we hear him say, "Go, we've got to go," and we embark on a journey that can only be fulfilled with the highest levels of faith. "Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generation of those who love him and keep his commands. Faithfulness is an attribute of God, and this is my quote, and is characteristic of his loyalty and love for his covenant people. God's steadfast, enduring love, as well as our personal experience of this love, evokes a corresponding loyalty and love, a hunger in our hearts to reciprocate his love that builds up the body of believers. We have a fountain in our front yard, a little tri-level fountain close to our patio area. And I did not want to get a fountain, but Julie wanted to get a fountain. So we have a fountain. We found it on Facebook Marketplace, got it for a ridiculous price. I know why we got it for a ridiculous price, because it was hard to move and hard to disassemble and put back together. But I went with Julie, picked up this fountain, put it in our front yard. And I find that with the number of leaves that fall in our front yard from this huge tree that's there, that fountain clogs up in the winter and the fall. So we unplug it during that time, and we only run it during the summer and the spring. And that fountain, it flows from one level to another when it's not clogged up with leaves, and it's a beautiful sight. Our lives are like that fountain. When we have great faith in God, the love from our lives flow to the next person, who flow to the next person, who help encourage and sharpen each and every member of this faith community. And then we get to be that kind of loving overflow to the community around us in Gainesville, Florida, and then to Guyana, and to Honduras, and to the Bahamas, and to El Salvador, and Costa Rica, and Zambia, Africa, and everywhere our church has served and continues to serve. We have those opportunities, and it's such a blessing to see that overflow. But we only experience that overflow if we have a growing faith and encourage each other within that growing faith. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. I got to attend one of Mark's classes during break on Psalms, and I love this passage of scripture. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. And then finally, in Acts chapter 2, we see the faith community helping expand the borders of the kingdom right from the get-go. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Why was the church growing daily like that? Because of these things, through great faith in God and an active faith community that was continually together. I know our college students love getting together, not just Wednesdays and Sundays or for a service project or event, but they are in each other's homes often getting together. I see that so often with our church family, people getting together in each other's homes, and it's so great to get together as often as we can to encourage one another in our faith. And you look at, as we close this morning, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. As we look at these nine areas of life through God's Spirit in us that we're to be growing in daily, we know one of those areas is faithfulness, an active and growing faith. And finally, Revelation 2:10, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. And as I think about that, I think about George Fletcher having that crown of life now. I think of Henry Turney. I got to spend time with his family down in St. Petersburg just a couple weeks ago. His recent passing, and he was a longtime member of our congregation, and the great man of faith that he was. And I think of my mom. I think of Jeannie White. I think of so many others who have attained that crown of life. And we know we will see them again one day. It's not a maybe or iffy proposition. It's 100%. And so we are to be faithful, knowing that we will attain that crown of life someday. If you have any needs of this congregation, or if you'd like the prayers of this congregation, you have that opportunity now as we stand and as we sing.
My only hope is you, Jesus, my only hope.